Dublin, spare city, where the girls are so pretty. I first set my eyes on sweet Molly Malone, as she wheeled a wheelbarrow through streets broad and narrow, singing pasties from Cornwall and Plymouth Argyle. Plymouth Argyle, Plymouth Argyle, pasties from Cornwall and Plymouth Argyle.
Well, hello and good evening, fellow Argyle podcast listeners, pilgrims all. And even those of you with just a casual interest in things going on up at Home Park, I'm sorry for the slightly prolonged absence of my dulcet tones from the internet airwaves. As you may know, we're in the run-up to Easter, and that's usually a busy time for me. But didn't stop me making my way with another 2,000 of you to Ashton Gate last Saturday. I think I've only just now got my voice back. And indeed, the sounds of the Green Army that you heard at the end of pasties were recorded there. Prior to kickoff, the Green Army were in particularly fine voice. And there's a little snippet there for those of you who didn't manage to make it all the way up to Bristol for what was, well, you know, an absolutely monumentous occasion. A huge, huge win, crucial win. And one of those, as Luggy says, one of those blood and snotters performances where the guys just got really stuck in and fought and bit and scratched their way to three very, very valuable points. Pretty miserable conditions. Windy, rainy, ball skidding about all over the place. And I think it's fair to say we probably coped a little better than City did on balance. Not really that my opinion counts for anything, but it never normally does anyway, which is perfectly fine. But particularly so on Saturday, because we decided, I don't know if you know Ashton Gate, if you went on Saturday or if you've been before, but the away end, you know, sitting on these backless seats, which is fine, it's all a bit old school and rough around the edges, but they have these pillars, which, you know, if you're in the wrong place, means you're having to kind of dodge your head around them all the time. So we thought, my daughter and I, that in order to avoid that and not have to kind of deal with it, we'd go and sit right at the front. And that was fine, because actually the atmosphere filtered down from the back fantastically well, and we were down at really at eye level. We were almost in the front row at in the away end, and that was fine. It gave you an interesting perspective on the game. Meant that I thought when I saw it, Fallon's first goal was a tap in from about 2 yards out, which has been embarrassing, really. But the other problem we had in terms of watching the game was it got ourselves nice and settled, and yeah, this was great, and we could see, you know, almost every hair on the back of Rab Douglas's neck. And then about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes before the kickoff, along comes one of these ITV cameramen and plonks himself right smack bang in front of us. So if we wanted to see anything at all, we had to keep kind of moving our heads from side to side. It was, you know, a bit like watching tennis, you know, moving their heads with every kick of the ball, which was a bit of a pain in the neck, to be perfectly honest with you. But didn't detract from a fantastic experience. I don't know that I wanted to get out of Ashton Gate quickly, you know, if there were ever a you know, major incident or something, because one emergency exit for away fans, you know, that can't be good, can it? You know, what happened to Mr. Justice Taylor's report, you know? And safety at football grounds, I was a little bit leery. And though, of course, being down the front, we would always have been able to get out of the pitch, but not if we'd been at the back. And I did see, actually, Bex Harvey. I didn't get to say hi to her, but I did see her surrounded with all her medical impedimenta. And I was left wondering, yeah, you know, if there's an emergency, you know, she's going to do well to be out before being, I don't know, gathered up and spat out by the elements. But it was good to see that she's still making games and supporting the Greens despite her current predicament. So, you know, all the very best from the offside goes to Bex, and, you know, we hope you're back on your feet soon. So, as far as the game itself is concerned, you know, you've probably seen the highlights. I'm sure you've read the match reports. And what I have to add, I think, is to say, again, how well Fallon did. And how, you know, if anything, he could reproduce that sort of form consistently, I think we might have found ourselves a bit of a gem. Different sort of player from McLean, who I also like. Obviously taller, but putting his weight around. You know, Lewis Carey is a smart guy. And Liam Fontaine is nobody's mug. And he absolutely had the beating of them all afternoon. He won absolutely everything in the air. Now, the guy behind me was complaining a lot that Fallon's flick-ons were to nobody in particular. What's the good of him being 6'4" and winning all these balls if he's not flicking them onto anybody? And that's a perfectly legitimate point. But I contend that it's really the responsibility of the loose striker, the guy playing off, in this case, Jermaine Easter, to kind of read where the flicks are going and to pick up on them. I mean, if you're the mobile one, surely it's that. I mean, I've got no experience of playing football at anything like a decent level, but surely it's down to you to kind of read where your target man is going to put the ball. If this is the game plan, to lump it up to Fallon and him to flick on for Easter to run onto, then, you know, Easter's got to be there or thereabouts. And too often, he was actually too close to Fallon to really sniff anything else, because Fallon was expecting him to be running from deep or running from the side, and actually he was kind of right on his heels. And I've seen that a little bit before in Argyle, that not just with the strikers too, that often people going up for balls and people laying balls off, actually getting a little bit too close to each other. So something to work on, Mr. Sturrock. You know, sort it out. Don't have the players standing on each other's heels so much. But yeah, Rory Fallon, really, I also thought, and I'm, you know, I love him to death, but I've never been a guy who said, yeah, Paul Watton, first name on the team sheet. You know, I thought in central midfield, actually, there are probably others who have more to offer. But his first four game back, he had an absolute stormer. Yeah, it was a Watsy performance. You know, you're not expecting silky, carved-out passes out of nowhere. 100% accuracy all the time. But, you know, crucial goal line clearance at 1-0 up. You know, when certainly three sides of the ground had gone up, and I thought it was in. But, you know, Captain Marvel to the rescue. And somehow it was his grit and determination that kept the side going right to the bitter end, especially when, you know, they'd got the penalty, and, you know, for a while it was all hands to the pump, and he got them through really on the smell of an oil rag. And I thought his reaction at the end of the game was interesting. You know, all the players came over, and they were, yeah, well done, fans, and thanks ever so much, and, yeah, phew, we're glad to have got that. But the look on Watton's face, he was absolutely ecstatic and determined and absolutely full of it. And he was going to the fans, he had his fists clenched and his face set in that Watton expression. You know the one I mean, where he's so intense and so in the moment. And so we are going to jolly well do this. I'm editing here, you understand? We're jolly well going to do this. We are going up. We are going to do it. Watton's determination just coming across in the grimacing and the just exultant noises that were coming out of his mouth. It was all very, very primal and an absolute delight to see. So, there we go. Three very valuable points. And I have to say, I've got to say this, a very warm and friendly reception from our Bristol colleagues. Not a hint, not a sniff of any incident at all. And, you know, they could have been, you know, coming out of the ground more or less together and parking the coach in some very dodgy car park round the back with what appeared to be sort of dock container lorries and things like that. It was most peculiar. And, you know, I was certainly, you know, a quarter, 20% expecting there to be, you know, 20 or 30 Bristol boys looking for a little bit of something or other. But no, absolutely none of that. Not a whisper. A friendly and firm police presence without being overly in your face. Except one occasion in which, you know, cram my handle a little bit. Obviously, they had this segregating in the, whatever it's called, the wedlock stand. If that's wrong, I apologise to all Bristolians everywhere. And that's fine. There's home fans and then there's a bit of a gap on the away fans. And there were a couple of guys in the front row who got into standing up a little bit, and they were told very, very firmly, you know, sit down. Not by the stewards, by police officers, this is, sit down. And they had a little bit of a mouth and then sat down. But you turn your head across, what are we talking here? I don't know, 10 yards, 15, 20 maybe? The entire block of the wedlock stand of the Bristol fans are standing. And the police are in there and absolutely nothing. And, I mean, I don't care one way or the other. Of course I don't. You know, I understand why you sit. I understand why people stand. That isn't the issue. The issue is, what better way is there to provoke something kicking off than by such an obvious disparity of treatment. And I know it happens at Argyle too. I know ostriches do exactly the same thing. But, you know, segregation was a bit of netting. You know, the seats were very easy to climb over. It could have. It didn't. It could have all gone horribly wrong just because people didn't have the manpower or the strength of will, or just, you know, the botheredness, if you like, to kind of make it happen. So I don't know what that says about stewarding. I don't know what that says about policing, but just, you know, could have been a bit wonky. Now we need to look forward to Saturday, to Watford. I'm hoping, and if it kind of slots in here, I will use it, that my friend Matt Rowson, who's a Watford fan, who writes for the fantastic Watford site, Be Happy. Is it behappy.com or behappy.org? Put Be Happy, just the letter B and happy, into Google, and you'll find it. Matt, with his friend Ian Grant, used to do what I thought was the best football site on the net, called BSED, Blind, Stupid and Desperate, which was, it wasn't a blog as such. It was more kind of an archive site with match reports and you know, player features. Really, really, really good site. Articulately and intelligently written, with humour and insight. And strong opinion. Matt and Ian, who I've never met, have met Matt, both have very strong opinions about football and about Watford in particular. And it was just a cracking good read. And for whatever reason, and their personal circumstances changed a little bit, jobs and families and stuff kind of got in the way. And they had to wind it down. But they are doing this site called Be Happy, which is much more of a blog. Might be behappy.wordpress.com. Put Be Happy into Google, you'll find it. It's a great site. Have a read, and I'm hoping that Matt's going to come along either and say something before or after the game, or maybe write a little bit of something for the blog for plymouth.theoffside.com, and I hope he does, because it'll be well worth a read. He's, you know, a smart guy, and his opinions are razor sharp. Don't always agree with them, but he's, you know, absolutely very, very well written. So I do hope that is going to happen for us. As far as we're concerned, well. Watford, our nemesis, I say, special place in my heart. First game I ever saw was at Home Park against Watford. And, you know, last year's Cup game, the 84 Cup game, you know, somewhere or other, they're always going to be there. And anyone who wants to take me up on a small charity wager that it will be Argyle against Watford in the final of the playoffs this year at Wembley, you know, kind of feel free, because I have to think it's written in the stars. Got to settle the 3 points on Saturday first. It's going to be tough. If anything, they're even more physical than they were before. They've got big Darius, obviously. They're very combative midfield. Lee Bromby hurling them in from all angles. A little bit short of creative flair, I would say. A little bit short of creative flair. It's going to be interesting to see if Sturrock decides to kind of go muscle for muscle with them, or whether we're going to try and outplay them on the ground. I know he said before that we tend to get into trouble if we play too much football. I'm not sure he's right, but I have a sneaky thing that a bit of pace might be the undoing of Watford. Of course, they've got big Danny Shittu, sort of immovable object at the back, who also gets a lot of goals. He's got, I don't know, 7 or 8 goals for them this season. He's done remarkably well. And, you know, players like Jaden Merritt, big, strong guys, very physical. Missing, I think, you know, the guile of a Gavin Mahn. And, of course, no Ashley Young to torment us down the left-hand side. It's a player I've got a huge amount of time for. Would love to see him in the full England setup. I don't know. You've heard my rationale for not making predictions before, so I'm not going to break it. It is going to be a good game if we can get something. You know, it's pointy. We get something, we're still in there. Though I think, you know, my hunch is that if we don't win, we will probably find ourselves outside the top six playing catch-up. I think, you know, Hull are busy doing a number. Ipswich are going to get their act together. I think Charlton are going to get their act together too, as well. So we'll have to wait and see. Other good news, Russell Anderson staying for the rest of the season. A guy I've been very impressed with in his short stay here. There's rumours flying around that Gary Teal is very keen to make his move here permanent. Again, I thought he had an excellent game on Saturday. Just offers us that little bit extra. consistency of crossing, that permanent width. Kind of in a way that Lee Martin did before he went off the boil. You know, Lee Martin had a couple of good games for us, and then he got knocked and couldn't really recapture that form and didn't really want to be here that much. Well, you really get the impression with Teal that he enjoys being part of this gang, and it'd be wonderful if we could pick him up permanently. But Russell Anderson to the end of the season is a absolutely rock-solid move. And Sipe, Timar, Anderson and Doumbé now, that's quite a good four to choose from at the back. I have a suspicion it's going to be Timar and Anderson on Saturday, but nobody's ruling out the likes to whipping a surprise out of the hat. And who knows what forward pair is going to start. Everyone's talking about Fallon and McLean. He could surprise us all and we end up with Easter and Mackie. Though I don't think so. I think Fallon will start. So, if you're going to the game on Saturday and you're near the press box, come over and say hi. Whatever you're doing, have a great weekend. Have a Super Easter too. I'll say that, but have a Super Easter. And be safe, be lucky, and keep it green.